What if we could live more in harmony with our animal friends and the whole of nature simply by stopping and listening more? Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators aims to bring animals and the world of nature front and center. We'll be chatting with professionals working in the animal industry and intuitive interspecies communicators about their work in the field. I'm your host, Tracy Pierce. I'm a professional animal communicator and lifelong animal lover and spiritual explorer. I've worked with animals professionally since 2002, and I've been studying animal communication and the human-animal connection since 2014. Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators is for animal lovers, nature lovers, intuitives, spiritual seekers, and those interested in interspecies communication. Our aim is to bring awareness to these professions and to expose the new and old science behind some of these seemingly out-of-the-world careers. We hope to educate and tickle your mind about what is possible by discussing this work and ways we can work with our animal friends, nature friends, and the planet as a whole, instead of them always being a secondary consideration. Join us now as we explore today's topic. Hello, hello. Today is our premiere episode of the Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators podcast. And our first guest today is Melinda Lee Schmidt. Our topic today is, do animals mirror their humans' behaviors and illnesses? Melinda is the founder of Encompass Energetics. She helps women who are ready to claim the life they were meant to live instead of the one society expects of them. Her approach is to get curious about and release limiting beliefs, helping them step into the life of their wildest dreams. Melinda is a nature-based coach, animal energy practitioner, and Healing Touch for Animals certified practitioner. Along with her innate ability of animal communication, Melinda Lee Schmidt designs programs to return her clients to the path of their wildest dreams by helping them reconnect with their language of their authentic self. Melinda, welcome to Chats with Animal Professionals and Interspecies Communicators. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I'm excited to be the first guest here on your podcast. So I'm honored. Yeah, well,
awesome. I'm really looking forward to our conversation here today. Okay. So to kick things off, could you tell us a little bit about how you came to do the work that you're doing?
Yeah, it started about 8 years ago when I adopted a Chihuahua. His name is Tater Tot. My 5-year-old named him at the time. And he's my greatest teacher, which I hear so often when I'm doing this work. You know, there's always like one or two animals in people's lives that's like, this is my soul teacher. This is the one. And so Tater Tot is that for me. And he was quickly, within a couple of days of being brought into our family, became super aggressive and attacking like anybody that tried to come to the house, including my husband at the time. He had been away on a business trip. And so when he came back, Tater Tot was really kind of aggressive towards him. And so that whole first year, I went through dog training, group training. I had personal trainers out to the house. I had massage. I got a massage for him. I did like everything that I could think of to work with him. And it got to the point where I was in tears because I was like, I don't think this is the right fit for him. I'm not the right family. But in my heart, I knew we were bonded. And so that's where I took the first Healing Touch for Animals course, the very first weekend course. And that weekend, I brought him with me. And I was terrified of bringing him with me because I knew how aggressive he could be. But he was just incredible. And I saw a completely different dog when I was there. And so over the next year, I started working with him regularly with the Healing Touch for Animals energy practices and the tools that I had learned. And I started noticing when he was being aggressive, his brows would be like furrowed like this. And I was like, huh, isn't that interesting? Because I've noticed that same thing in my face a lot. And so I was like, huh, I wonder what that's about. And so over the course of just paying attention, I was like, oh my gosh, he's not aggressive. He's just terrified. Like, he is so scared. And the way that he controls his environment is by lashing out. And I was like, that is exactly what I do. I do that exact same thing. I'm always in this fight or flight feeling. And God forbid, you know, my kids don't do their chores or my husband, ex-husband comes home late or whatever, I instantly lashed out at them. And so I realized that, you know, the only way that I could probably work with, the best way I could probably work with him is to start doing the work for myself. So I started doing meditation. I created a very safe space in the house for me. Then I did the same for him. And so we kind of went on this journey together. And by the time my extended family came to the house for Thanksgiving that year, they were like, I don't know who this dog is, but this is not anywhere near the same dog that we met last year. So.
Wow. That is quite an incredible journey you've had with Tater Tot.
Sure.
And it really fits right in with our topic for today, which is mirroring. And, you know, that's a term that we hear about a lot in animal communication. Could you tell us what your own interpretation of this phrase mirroring is as it pertains to our animal friends?
Yeah. So mirroring is a reflection of our own stories or insecurities or illnesses or whatever it is that we have going on. It's just a reflection of that they shine a light on, I guess is the best way to say it. And so they do it, from what I've seen, in order to help us heal and grow beyond whatever these limitations are.
Yeah, so it's really like our animal friends are doing us a service in some ways.
100%.
Do you feel like our animal friends are always mirroring something to us? Or what's your take on that?
You know, it's a really great question. I think that in our existence, all things are possible. So I don't know that they're always mirroring us, but the opportunity is always there. So, and what I mean by that is just if we take a look at something and it strikes us as something that resonates within us, more than likely it's a mirroring situation. So, but then there might be other times when, you know, you're passing by a squirrel or something on the road and you're just like, oh, hey, there's a squirrel. Cool. Like, you know, and that's not necessarily a mirroring situation. It's just, I'm in your field situation.
Yeah. So it sounds like it can kind of go both ways. And you mentioned this a little bit already about the illnesses. Do you feel like animals ever mirror physical illnesses for their humans?
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the hardest, that's one of the hardest things that I have to work with my clients, because there's so much guilt that surrounds that. It's like when they notice that there is a possibility that their animal is mirroring this illness that's within them, there's like this, oh my God, I have caused my animal to become ill, you know, and, there can be a lot of guilt and judgment associated with that, but that's only on the perspective of the humans. The animals don't hold any judgment, and they don't hold any, they don't want us to feel any guilt or shame. They are simply doing these things and mirroring these things, oh, for a variety of reasons, but essentially they want to help us to grow beyond it. So it's a gift that they're offering to us. And sometimes that's really hard for us as humans to accept. But also the way that energy works, it's a like attracts like situation. So it's kind of both and.
Yeah. That's, I find this so interesting. I've had I've definitely had animals mirror things to me in different ways. And it's such a fascinating area. And I feel like you addressed this a little bit in your introduction when you were talking about tater tot, but do you feel like we can release the stress that they're presenting from the animal without addressing the human component that's contributing to the stress of the animal? Or let's see, I guess a better way to say it might be, what happens if we try to address these issues only from the animal side of thing without looking at the human contribution?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And again, I'm just going to come back to, there's infinite possibilities in this life. So I do think that it's possible for an animal to recover without the human addressing their own stuff. And also, I think the majority of the time, that's not the case. Because typically, if an animal is coming down and mirroring something, especially like an illness, it's because we have a soul contract with them that was decided upon before both of us came into this existence. And so that soul contract can only be completed if both of us are doing the work and heal beyond what that soul contract was about.
Yeah, so interesting. And I feel like you talked about this also with Tater Tot, that, you know, maybe you weren't picking up on the fact that he was mirroring. And I think I've worked with a lot of clients with this too, where they're like, well, the animal's just being bad. They just tell them to stop pooping inside the house. Like, what's going on here? So why is it sometimes so difficult to pick up on whether the animal is mirroring something to us or they're just being bad?
Yeah, I think that the biggest challenge there is what mindset we're in and how triggering the particular issue is for us. So our brains are wired, right, to protect us against the things that we perceive to be harmful. So if the animal is mirroring something that has to do with a memory or a traumatic part of our background or something, our brain is naturally going to just gloss right over it, right? Like, I can't look at that because I have to keep myself safe. And that clearly has nothing to do with me. And so sometimes, like in my case, it took a year and energy work before I felt, and creating that meditation and that safe space within my home to be able to feel safe enough to look at and see that there was something else going on, that the mirroring was going on there.
Yeah, it makes me think of one of my cats who she mirrored a lot of stuff to me, and particularly just in the like month or two before she transitioned into spirit, she was really reflecting a lot to me about my own relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really hard for me to see, because she would run away and hide. And she, you know, when I'd ask her about it, she's like, well, I'm just doing what you do. And it kind of made me stop and go, really? Like, how does this apply? And it really challenged me to kind of look at my life in a different way. And I kind of feel like unless somebody is really willing to look at that in themselves, it can be like, let's just push this over to the side. So,
yeah. And I feel as animal communicators and coaches, it's our job to kind of meet people where they're at, you know? So if they're not ready to look at it, if they're not ready to see it, then okay. So that's where we can start doing the work with the animal without actually doing the work with the person, because we do have to establish that baseline, right? And create that safety first. And then at some point they may see it, and then we're there for them. We've held this container and we can go there.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah. You've given us some examples already with Tater Tot. Is he still with you?
He is. Yes.
Does he still mirror things to you today, or?
He does, but I think that it's mostly still a lot of the fear and controlling the environment, right? So a lot of our deepest habits take a lifetime, right? We're like constantly working with them. And so those things he reminds me of often, where he's like, all right, we're here again. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So we talked about how it can be really challenging to notice these mirroring behaviors or want to recognize them. Do you have a suggestion about what might be the best way to start to recognize when our animal friends are mirroring something to us?
The first thing I would do is to check in with yourself and make sure that you've already created a safety container within yourself before you start looking at that stuff. Because I really think it comes down to, we can't grow beyond anything that we have already experienced unless our body feels safe in the first place, because that's just how we are as humans and that's how our brains work. We have to be in that safe mode or else we can't grow. So that's the first place I would start. And then the second thing is the way that I do it and the way I work with my clients is, what are they, do they have illnesses? What are their behaviors? And which ones of those things trigger you? Where are the triggers? And because more than likely where those triggers are is where they're mirroring you.
Yes. And definitely some of the most triggering behaviors by animals are the ones I definitely need to look at in myself. Right. I can really relate to that.
Yeah.
So once we've, you know, created that safe space and start to recognize where those triggers are showing up, do you feel like there's a best way to respond once we realize that? Is it a matter of just looking to our animal friends to help us, or is it some sort of self journey, or what's your advice?
I think it's both. I think the most important thing to remember is that as humans, we have something that animals don't, and that is story, the ability to tell ourselves story. So everything is very simple for them, you know, so it's, I have this illness. I don't make meaning of it. I work with it. I'm going to keep living my life. And if I'm supported in a way that helps me grow beyond it, great. No story whatsoever. We get an illness and we're like, what did we do wrong? How could we have gotten this? Where did this come from? Is it my background? You know, and we're making meaning over what this illness is. And I think that that works to our advantage. You know, there's a reason as humans, we were gifted story. We were gifted all of these things. So I think that it's going to be a journey of going inward and finding those stories and taking a look at them objectively and going, does this story serve me anymore? Does this have any purpose other than keeping me safe and stuck in where I am right now? Does this story help me grow? And if it doesn't, it's time to move beyond it. And our animal companions can be there kind of guiding us and also reflecting back how far we've come. So if we see their behavior or their illness start to change, we're like, okay, I'm getting the breadcrumbs that I'm heading in the right direction.
Awesome. Yeah, this can really be an emotional journey and, you know, can take a lot of emotional capacity for us as humans to do this kind of work. I feel like we really need to be kind of ready and prepared and want to go and look at that these things that our animal friends are reflecting to us. Do you have any tips for our listeners about how to deal with the emotions that might come up around any of these particular issues that our animals are reflecting to us?
Yeah. Support. Have all of your support. Find support systems, whether that is close friends that understand this type of a journey and can hold a safe container for you, or contacting an energy healer or a massage therapist or a talk therapist or whatever, or having just a spiritual family, find support, because as humans, we're not meant to do this life alone. And when we're stepping into something that can be so emotional, we want to know that there's somebody there that can just hold us in our darkest moments.
Yeah, that can be really important. I can relate to that for sure.
Yeah.
This is such an interesting topic with mirroring. We could probably talk about it for 2 or 3 hours. But is there anything else that really comes up for you that you want to add or share about this topic of animal mirroring?
Yeah, actually, I had this really beautiful example of something yesterday that didn't even have anything to do with an animal. It was a tree. And the tree mirrored something for me, and it was really beautiful. I was walking a couple of dogs, and I was passing by this fence, and the tree was behind the fence, not a tree that I would have noticed. It was kind of a densely wooded area. But this tree that I had never noticed before was a magnolia, a southern magnolia. And at the base of the tree was the most incredible, creamy white flower that had opened. And it was perfection. I've seen a ton of southern magnolias, and I've never seen one just so beautiful and perfect. And to have it kind of behind the chain link fence, it was like it was being hidden from view almost. And when I get messages from, whether it's animals or plants, it just is a knowing. And I knew in that moment that the tree was reminding me that I have the choice to place my attention wherever I want it to be. And yesterday, I was really stuck in a lot of my stories, and that flower was just a reminder, like, yeah, you can look at those stories, but you can also look at all of the beauty that's around you. And it was just exactly what I needed to hear yesterday.
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point that it doesn't always have to be the animals that are reflecting something to us. It can be other parts of nature. And the thing that occurred to me as you were speaking is this, you know, we've talked about the mirroring as like, oh, it's all this self-work that I need to do, but it doesn't necessarily have to be painful or overly emotional. Your story actually made me think of my walk that I went on this morning. We live near this open space area, and there's a ton of prairie dogs that live over there, and they're always like making their sounds, and I always say hi to them.
Yeah.
The last couple of days that I've been walking, they've been doing this thing where it's like there's two of them standing face to face, and they're like looking, and sometimes they have their hands on their shoulder, on each other's shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
So I've just been stopping and tuning into them. And I feel like there's something about my own relationship with my own partner that they're kind of reflecting to me. And I was just like, wow, just really kind of struck by it. So I guess it feels important to acknowledge that this mirroring behavior doesn't necessarily have to be something bad, or, you know, be some kind of deep self-work that you have to do on yourself, that it can also be really beautiful, like you were sharing with the tree or with the prairie dogs.
I find squirrels and chipmunks in particular, you know, they're just kind of all over the place here in Georgia. So most of the time I don't give them any mind, but every once in a while they'll come around and it will strike me that they're there for me. And almost all the time their messages play, go play and have fun, you know, like, as they're like chasing each other around and making me laugh. So for sure.
Yeah. Find the joy in the mirroring as well. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Melinda, for joining me here today. If our listeners wanted to reach out and get in touch with you or learn more about you and your work, where would be the best place for them to go?
The best place is on my website. It's melindaleeschmidt.com. And that has information about my coaching program. I do have a 3 and 6 month program that kind of leads you through using mirroring to help become your most authentic self, that I feel is so incredibly important Because I do believe that part of the reason animals mirror so much of what we need to grow through and heal is because the more we're healed, the more we understand our oneness with everything. And the more we understand our oneness with everything, the more we show up to help heal the world. So it's really just a cyclical thing that I think is just incredibly important, especially in this day and age.
Wow, cool. Yeah. And let's see, you also wrote to me that you just started your own podcast as well. Is there anything you want to share about that?
Yes. You can sign up for my newsletter, which can be accessed through the website. And in my newsletter, I share every month an animal message for that particular month. This month in June is from the tree frog. And so from my newsletter, you get the message from tree frog or whatever the animal is. And then about mid-month, I share a podcast that talks about how I've worked with the message of the month, how maybe I've received the message of the month. I talk a little bit about the behind the scenes of what it's like to be an animal communicator.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we'll definitely include those links in the show notes. So if listeners want to hop on over, they'll be able to do that. Again, thank you, Melinda, so much for joining us here today. It's been such a great opportunity to talk about mirroring and just a really big learning experience. So thank you so much, Melinda.
Thank you so much, Tracy. It's been so great talking to you.
Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in today. I hope you find yourself tickled and considering what else is possible when we decide to listen in different ways. Your animal and nature friends want to communicate with you. Are you ready to listen? If you found this podcast valuable and would like to support us, please use the donation link in the show notes to make a donation. Thank you so much for your support. If you're an animal professional or interspecies communicator and would like to be a guest on the show, please send an email to hi@tracy-pierce.com. Music is courtesy of Fesslian Studios. All links we mention will be provided in the show notes for this episode. If you found this show informative or helpful, please consider leaving us a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcasts.